Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the December 7th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the second Sunday of Advent. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Loving God, bless your people who turn to you in faith.
Bless the waiting where there is space for you to come.
Bless the darkness that we may wait with hope.
Bless the silence that we may listen for your coming.
Grant us stillness that with patience and courage we may prepare room in our hearts and minds for the coming of Christ.
Come, O Savior, come. Amen.
Next is the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. Next is the hymn, I Got Peace Like a River.
Scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah. Hear what Spirit is saying to the church. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall go out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge for the poor and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt round his waist, and faithfulness the belt round his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his head on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
We turn to our New Testament reading, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent! Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the people of Isaiah, prophet Isaiah, spoke of when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make God's paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. When Jerusalem and all Judea and all of the region around the Jordan were coming out to him, they were being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for their baptism, he said to them, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, well, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able to, from these stones, to raise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I. And I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm here to spread Christmas cheer, as you noticed, with the good news that I've just read to you from Matthew chapter 3. But around you, around us, Christmas is everywhere. Decorations, music, lights. In fact, if my daughter Hannah had her way, Christmas music would start right after July 4th. She loves Christmas and its music that much. All around us, with the sparkle, some of us still feel anything but merry. We're tired, we're grieving, we're stretched thin. And somewhere deep down, the question surfaces, Jesus, are you the one? Because my life doesn't look very much like peace on earth. And that question is exactly where Advent lives, in the midst of questions and a people who feel disconnected from the merry of Christmas. Advent is a season for people, not for people who have it all together, but it's for people who look at the world and think, oh my gosh, this isn't how it's supposed to be. And both Isaiah and John the Baptist both speak into that kind of world and speak a message even to our questions. Isaiah opens with that bleak image. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. The royal line of David was supposed to be a strong tree, a strong line. And Isaiah, looking at that line of David, sees only a stump, cut down, lifeless, like the tree that's going to happen this week in our own yard. Some of us know what that feels like when a relationship has stalled, when a doctor's diagnosis has changed everything for us, for our faith, and a faith that feels numb instead of vibrant and alive. Isaiah doesn't sugarcoat it. He just says, God isn't done yet. So out of that dead-looking stump, there will be a tiny shoot of life pushing through. That's the promise of the Messiah. Fragile, small, and yet filled with life. And this one, Isaiah says, will be filled with the Spirit of God, wisdom, understanding, power, reverence. This shoot of Jesse, this one, the Messiah who's coming, he'll care for the poor and the meek. He'll bring justice where it's missing. And Isaiah imagines a world so healed that even wolves and lambs, they can lie down together in peace. And children can play safely with snakes, poisonous snakes. And creation itself can rest. That's quite a breathtaking picture. But if you're thinking, well, that's not the world I live in, that's not what I see at all, you're not wrong. Isaiah's promise stretches beyond what's visible. It's a hope with its eyes open. And Christmas is here daring to say to us that hope has a name. And that name is Jesus. So we ask the Advent question, Jesus, are you really the one? Are you the shoot that comes up from that stump, the bringer of peace? That question isn't doubt. That question is faith searching for something real. Now we jump into the text in Matthew and about John the Baptist in the wilderness. If Isaiah paints the picture of the one who is coming, it is John who yells, get ready, because he's almost here. John, he's not the cozy Christmas type. He's wearing itchy camel hair outfit. He's out in the wilderness eating the living things that are out there, and that would be locust. I imagine they could fry them up crispy and then coat them with chocolate, and it might be okay, I guess. It's still, since the first time as a young boy hearing this story and then growing up with it, I still cringe just a little bit every time I hear about what his diet is made of. Probably healthy, enough protein to sustain him, but I don't know. It's the legs that really weird me out. So here's John, not a Christmas type. And he's yelling continually a message of repent, repent, turn around, go the other direction, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Matthew connects to Isaiah's prophecy, where John himself identifies himself as the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make God's paths straight. And crowds come from neighboring areas to be baptized by John. He invites them to turn from their old ways and begin preparing. Prepare for the one who's coming. When the religious leaders arrive, the ones who should be most ready, and you expect that of me, but I have not put up my Christmas tree. Not one Christmas light is hung yet. But it's not too early. It's not Christmas yet. We're still in Advent. And I'm excusing myself, but that's enough about me. The crowds come, and the religious leaders as well. To the religious leaders, John has some pretty pointed words. You group of snakes, you brood of vipers, bear fruit worthy of repentance. While John is blunt, he's not cruel. He's saying to them, don't fake preparation. Let it show in your life. Then come those strong images, the axe at the root, the winnowing fork in hand, an urgent and serious message with active language. And he's saying it not to frighten them, but rather to wake them up, shake them into awakeness. And while we're asking Jesus, are you the one? God is asking of us, are you ready for the one? Have you made room? Isaiah says who's coming, a just, spirit-filled king. And John says how to get ready, a turning around, repenting, stopping what you've been doing and start doing something brand new by turning around. Repentance itself isn't about guilt, for us to feel more shame, more guilt. It's about direction. It's about noticing that the road I'm on doesn't line up with Jesus. And it's my time to turn. That's what it means when John is saying as he does, prepare the way of the Lord. Well, what if you hear all this and don't feel sure? Good, because you're in excellent company. The Bible is full of questioners. How long, O Lord? Why have you forsaken me? And later, this same John the Baptist, after preaching so boldly, will send messengers to Jesus to say, are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? So if you've asked yourself the question, Jesus, are you really the one? Do you see what's happening in the world I see? You're not failing at faith. You're living Advent faith, honest, expectant, and still preparing the way. You can pray an honest prayer of, Jesus, I don't have it all figured out yet, but if you are the one Isaiah promised and the one that John announced, I want to make space for you in my life, in my home. So how do we do that? How do we do that? First, clear some space. If a king were visiting your house, you'd make room. You'd tidy up at least a little bit, wouldn't you? Our December calendars are jam-packed. Our hearts get the same way. So this week, look at your calendar. Find one thing, just one. Can you cancel it? Can you postpone it? Use that small pocket of time then that you've cleared to meet God. And as you pause for a moment in the busyness, maybe read Isaiah 11, as we have today. Maybe read Matthew 3. Read it slowly. Sit in quiet. Pray something honest. Jesus, if you are the one, show me where you're growing new life in me. So clear some spiritual time. It tells God that you're serious about making room. Clear some space. That's one. Two, make a straight path in one relationship. John said to the religious leaders, bear fruit worthy of repentance. One of the best places that fruit grows is in our relationships with one another. Is there someone where the path between you and them is crooked? Someone that you've avoided? Someone you had resented? Someone you've hurt? Ask God to help you find that one name and then take one small step. Maybe sending them a text, make a call, and simply say, I'm sorry. If direct contact is impossible, maybe forgive them quietly and stop rehearsing the old hurt. You might not fix everything, but even that one small move clears a path for peace. And it's a way of saying, Jesus, straighten out this road through my pride and through my fear. So clear some space. That's one. And two, make straight up a straight path in one relationship. And three, join the king's justice in one small way. Isaiah's Messiah loves the poor and loves the overlooked. And if Jesus is that king, then preparing for Jesus that king means joining in his mercy. So this week, look for a place and a time where one act of justice you can do for one person, a person in need. It might be donating to the food pantry. It might be dropping off a meal. It may be checking on a lonely neighbor. And you do this not as holiday charity, but as a living prayer. Jesus, you care for the vulnerable. Use me, even a little bit, to make your love real in this world. That's how we prepare the way. For some of us, we're joyful and expectant. Some of us are weary and doubtful. Some of us look at life and think, it's just a stump now. But hear the promise that we are told today. God brings life out of stumps. God brings hope out of what looks dead. God brings peace out of chaos. John's rough voice in the wilderness isn't meant to scare us. It's meant to shake us to awaken. The kingdom of heaven has come near. You can turn. You can make room. So, you don't have all the answers to start preparing the way. You can simply say, Lord, I'm uncertain, but I'll clear some space. I'll make one relationship straighter. I'll do one act of mercy. And I'll trust that somewhere in all of those small things, you will meet me there. And maybe as you do, you'll begin to notice. You'll begin to notice that there's a little more peace, a little more courage, a little green shoot of hope that's springing up. Those are the quiet signs that Jesus really is the one, the shoot of the stump of Jesse, the bringer of justice and peace, and the one who still comes to us even when faith has questions. So this Advent, bring to Jesus your question. Jesus, are you the one? And then let your life whisper the answer as you prepare the way. Amen.
Next is the hymn, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. Next are verses 1 and 4 of We've Got a Story to Tell the Nation.
So you are God's beloved. Go in rejoicing. The world needs it. Amen.
Amen.
And we've got a song that sings, it tells of joy. So let's see if we can do just verse one of Joy to the World. Yeah.